Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
Well, good morning, church family. What a treasure and a blessing it is to open God's Word with you today. And we had such a great response from you from the streaming last week. And God's given us the technology to be able to do this together today. So I'm excited to open God's Word with you. There's a thing that I always do when we're here gathered that I want to go ahead and do this morning. It'll be a little bit different, but I still want to read it and I want to share it because it's important to our church family. You know, we have all kinds of people at North Central. Now, we're not all here, but we're all scattered about, and there's all kinds of people doing that with us. All people are welcome in our fellowship, in our community of believers. Every race and every skin color. We come from different economic backgrounds. We live in different neighborhoods. Some are single and some are married. Some have been married for a long time and some just got married. Some have kids and some don't have kids. But we're all in our community. We're all watching and worshiping together today because we need the gospel. The gospel puts broken lives back together and it helps us make sense of the things in life that we don't understand. Our Lord compels our church to take the gospel to the world, to share Jesus and make disciples, and those will in turn make disciples as well. And because of that, our people get together in small groups and one-on-one, and we've been doing that with some Zoom meetings, and I know that there's some Facebook groups that are meeting together, and you're making phone calls. We do all of that to intentionally make disciples. North Central is to take the gospel to all people as Jesus commanded his church. The gospel is powerful. Jesus is powerful. And then we say this together, Jesus is wonderful. Now today I'm opening God's word to Ephesians chapter 5, and I just want to read that passage from my copy of God's word. You read it from yours. It says this is Ephesians chapter 5 verses 1 through 7. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. Verse 5, for this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. Now, just a quick review of where we are in the book of Ephesians. You know, chapters 1 through 3, we entitled that Understanding the Grace of God. Chapters 4 and following is Walking in the Grace of God. So here's what we've talked about. We did a message, walking with one another, walking with spiritual gifts, walking with a renewed mind. And then last week, Chris gave us a great message. He entitled Leveling Up. And so I've entitled it for our purposes today, Walking as We Level Up. Well, today we're talking about walking in love. Now, how can we walk in love? Can I just tell you something? I have been so blessed. I want to commend you, church family, as you have reached out to people. I have been calling some of our folks this week. I've called some of our senior adults, and they have told me that others have been calling them. We have been ministering one to another, and that's really what this message is about. It's about walking in love. Well, how do we do that? Well, the Scripture is going to tell us today, and there's three things that I want to remind you of as we walk in love. Here's the first thing. We are to imitate our Lord by sacrificing for others. In verses 1 and 2 of our text, the Scripture says, therefore be imitators of God as dear children. We are to be imitators of God as dear children. The phrase imitator is the word actually where we get our word to mimic someone, to be just like them. You know, the 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, Paul said this, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. Now, Paul was pretty bold to say, you can imitate me, but let's remember, he was saying, I'm going to be imitating Christ so you can imitate me. In our passage today, the scriptures are commending us and commanding us to imitate our Lord. And it words it this way, be imitators of God as dear children. That means as beloved children. Can I tell you something today? One of the ways that we're able to love others, one of the ways that we are able to walk in love as the scripture commands us today, is we're able to do that because we're loved. We are a loved people. If you are a child of God, if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, then you are a loved person. And because of that, because we're loved, then we can reach out to others and we can love people in a sacrificial way. And that's the way that we are to do that. We are to imitate our Lord by sacrificing for others. He says, do that as dear children. And then he gives us the example. The example of that is found in verse 2, where the scripture says this, walk in love as Christ also loved us and has given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. That verse of scripture, verse 2, is power-packed with some words there that describe what Christ has done for us. The scripture says he sacrificed for us. As Christ has loved us, he gave himself for us. The word for there, where it says in that phrase, given himself for us, is a word that's associated with what is theologically known as the atonement. In other words, Christ sacrificed for us on our behalf. He was our sacrifice on our behalf. And then the scripture says an offering in verse 2. And that is from a word meaning to bring. It's as if Christ brought himself to God in our place. He was the offering. He was the sacrifice. And then in verse 2, it uses the word sacrifice. Now, that word denotes a victim that was slain. Paul is telling us that Jesus Christ was our example of love. How did he demonstrate that love? He came and he gave his own life. He sacrificed himself. He presented himself to God as a sacrifice to God. And Paul spoke about this sacrifice in chapter 1, verse 7, and also in chapter 2, verse 13. And then he says, it is a sweet-smelling aroma. When a sacrifice was made in the Old Testament, that sacrifice would be burning on the altar and the smoke would rise up. And the Old Testament writers refer to that as a sweet-smelling aroma to God. In other words, God knew the people were worshiping him. Can I tell you this? That phrase was used 40 times in the first 5 books of the Old Testament to refer to the sacrifice of the Old Testament. Well, the scripture is saying that when we love, when we walk in love, and Jesus being our example is our encouragement to love others in that way, then we are offering a sweet-smelling aroma to the Lord. Let me just tell you this and just try to apply this. As during this time when there's so much uncertainty, during this time when there's people that are fearful, there's people that are in need, when you reach out in love, sacrificing your time and making adjusting your world so that you might meet the needs of others, I just believe with all my heart that is a sweet-smelling aroma to the Lord. It makes a difference, and the Lord is pleased. And so one of the ways that we walk in love is by imitating our Lord, by sacrificing for others. And folks, we've got to look out for others, people that we can minister to and people that we can love. Number two, we are to guard our testimony by what we do and what we say. You are to guard your testimony by what you do and what you say. And we see this in verses 3 and 4. Now look at this. He talks about what you do. He says, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you, as is fitting for saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking. Now he's talking about the things we say. Nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. Paul is saying to those in Ephesus, now remember Ephesus was a metropolitan city. There was all kinds of evil and all kinds of sexual sin. They had the temple to to foreign gods, and there were prostitutes there. This was something that the people had to live in and around. And so Paul was saying to them, guard your testimony. And folks, is it any different for us? We live in a wicked world. And even in this time when we're kind of social distancing and all these things, you know, I want to encourage us all to make sure that by the things we do and the things we say, that we guard our testimony. Now, the word fornication there in verse 3 is a general word for sexual immorality. It's actually the Greek word porneia, which is where we get the word pornography. I was thinking about all the time people are spending online. I just was thinking about the fact that, you know, we're already online a lot, and we're thankful that we can be online. We're thankful that we have the internet and that we can broadcast and stream our service to you today. But there's also some things about being online with extra time that we need to be careful of. I am amazed at the impact of pornography on the family. And the scripture is telling us that God is giving us a warning here. Let's guard our testimony. Let's guard our time with the things that we see. He talks about it in verse 3, but fornication and uncleanness, that word uncleanness means characteristic of a society that is secular and apart from God. And then it uses the word covetousness, which means a lust for more. He says, don't even let this be named among you. One of the reasons I use the word guard in that point there, number 2, guard your testimony, is because he says this should not even be named among you. This is a strong phrase, meaning not to speak of doing such a thing. Let it not even be so much mentioned among you. So folks, our testimony as believers, and believe me, right now our world is watching. How is the church going to live? How is the church going to respond? Are we going to reach out in love? If we're going to walk in love, we've got to walk in love by the way that we live. We've got to walk in love by the things we say. And these types of things should not even be named among us. And then it says in verse 3, as is fitting among saints. In other words, it's not fitting that our testimony would be the things that are described there in verse 3. It's like oil and water. You take oil and you put it in water, the oil separates. In the same way, that kind of a testimony and the lifestyle that is described in verse 3 there should not even be named in a believer's life. And then he talks about the things we say in verse 4. He says this, he says, neither filthiness nor foolish talking. That's interesting. The word filthiness means obscenity, shameless, immoral conduct. Foolish talking is from a word that means a lack of forethought or wisdom. Saying things that are unwise. And I tell you, there's a lot of that goes on in our world. Is it not? Is that not true? And so the Lord is saying to us, let's guard our testimony, even the things we say. When we speak, let's use wisdom. Let's use forethought. And then it uses a word that it's very interesting. It says, nor coarse jesting. That word means a polished and a witty speech that is an instrument of sin. One of my favorite Bible scholars is Kenneth Wiest. He was a Greek professor at Moody Bible Institute. Here's what he says about that phrase, nor coarse jesting. He says, sometimes it is lodged in a sly question, a smart answer, in a quirkish reason, in a lusty hyperbole, in a startling metaphor, in a plausible reconciling of contradictions, or in an acute nonsense. In other words, is someone who uses their words in a sly way, coarse jesting. Folks, we don't need to be making fun. We don't need to be using our language in that way. And how are we to be acting? Well, he says there in our text there in verse 4, he says, which are not fitting, in other words, it's like oil and water, but rather giving of thanks. And that word thanks there is where we get the word in the English language, the Eucharist. You know, the Lord's Supper, when we come together in the Lord's Supper, some we call it the Lord's Supper and some call it communion. But in some places, that word Eucharist is used, and it means to give thanks. When we have the Lord's Supper, we come together to give thanks for what Jesus Christ has done in our life. Well, that ought to be the testimony of God's people, is that we're not people coarse jesting. We're not people speaking and dividing people, but we ought to be speaking in a way that honors the Lord, and we ought to be giving thanks. I heard the story of a group of missionaries in China, and this was over 100 years ago that the story originated. And C.L. Culpepper was a great missionary there, and they tell the story that they were praying for the Chinese people in their ministry, and yet there was all kinds of conflict. They were not making much of a difference. And the Holy Spirit got a hold of some of the missionaries, and they realized we're not right. They realized we're not living the way we're supposed to be living. And they realized that they had said some ugly things to one another, and there was strife within the missionary corps. So they got down on their knees, and they asked the Lord to forgive them. And the Lord began to say to some of them, you need to go to this one and apologize. Now, they weren't talking about going to the world out there that needed Christ. They're talking about going in the church, in amongst the missionaries. And they began to get right with God, and the Holy Spirit got a hold of their lives. And as a result, the Shantung Revival took place in China because the missionaries got right. So here's our challenge. We are to guard our testimony in what we do, and we are to guard our testimony in what we say. Can I tell you this? As we think about being thankful, I just want to tell you something, folks. We're blessed. We are so blessed in the life of our church. I want you to think about some blessings. Think about your salvation. I think about when I gave my life to Christ as a teenage boy. I don't know where in the world I'd be without Christ. Think about the scripture. Think about our church family. Wow, this church has impacted so many people, and what a blessing it is that we have our fellowship. And you think about heaven, you think about music, this amazing music that we've enjoyed today, is a blessing from God. Think about this beautiful weather. I was Kelly and I were talking. I tell you, if you have to be socially distancing yourself, Gainesville, Florida is a beautiful place right now in our world. I know it's not that way for everyone, but we're blessed here. I think about people who care. I think about those that have children, what a blessing they are. I want to encourage you to get out a sheet of paper this week and write down the things you're thankful for, because that ought to be the testimony of us as believers in Jesus Christ. So, how do we walk in love? All right, the first thing, we imitate the Lord by sacrificing for others. Jesus was our example in that. Number two, we guard our testimony by what we do and what we say. And here's the last thing, we face the truth about where we belong. You face the truth about where you belong. In verses 5 and 6, there's some somber scripture there. It says, for this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. We've got to face the truth. You say, Pastor, why do you say it that way? Well, because in verse 5, he says, for this you know. And here's what that really means there. It means, there's a way to describe it that goes like this. You already know this. Paul is saying to us, you already know what I'm about to tell you, that if we have a lifestyle, now folks, it doesn't mean there's not sin in our life. We will never be sinless until we get to heaven. And I'll be the first to vote and let you know I'm in that category, okay? So we all fall short of where we ought to be. But he's making something clear. We've got to face this truth. If we live antagonistic to God, I mean, we are, as a lifestyle, living on and on and on and on against the Lord. That's a dangerous place to live. He says that those folks will not have any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. He says, don't let people deceive you. Now, I know some people say, I went to church when I was a little boy, and I hadn't lived for the Lord, and I'm living like the devil wants me to live. And I think I'm okay because I went to church. I just will tell you this, be very careful of that, because the scripture makes it crystal clear that we are to face the truth about where we belong. If we are truly been born again, we've got Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and he's working on us, and he's changing us, then we know we're headed for heaven. But if we are living completely against that, and it's a lifestyle, it's something to be very, very cautious of, and we need to face up to that. So one of the ways we walk in love is we face that challenge in our life. Now, in conclusion, I just want to tell you this. Here are the things I want you to do today, church family. Number one, and those listening, and we welcome all of our audience, you know, that is watching us. Here's what I want you to do with this truth today. The first thing is make sure you truly know the Lord Jesus Christ. And how do you do that? You put your faith and trust in Christ. Hey, email us if there's anything we can do to help you understand the gospel in that way. We want to do that. Matter of fact, on our webpage, if you'll go down to the link to this service, there's a gospel button there you can push, and it describes the gospel. But make sure you know the Lord Jesus. If you do know the Lord Jesus, then I want to say this to you, then you'll want to be like your Father. And the scripture says that we are to walk in love. We're to imitate the Lord. Your children like to be like their parents. You know, dad goes out and mows the grass, and the little son comes behind him, maybe with a little mower that they bought him that's a toy, or he wants to tag along with his dad, because we want to be like our Father. And we're to imitate our Father. And I encourage you to do that. Why is that important? Why is it that the Lord wants us to imitate him? Well, because, you know, in Psalm 23, it says, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Church family, when we live our lives for Christ, he gets the glory. If you are a believer in Jesus and you live for him, and folks notice your love, you're walking in love like Ephesians is teaching us, then it brings glory to our Lord. Jesus was our example of sacrifice. The Bible says in Mark 10:45, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Philippians chapter 2, verse 4 says it this way, let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. So let's be on the lookout as we're walking in love. Let's be on the lookout for those in need. I recently was studying with someone that I'm encouraging spiritually, and he's encouraging me, and we were looking at this truth from Philippians 2, and we realized that God gives us the opportunity to do acts of kindness and love for the gospel's sake, things that just come to your mind. Maybe the Lord will remind you to call someone. Why don't you call them and make an impact in that way? Then there's other times that are intentional, where you have thought about it. I need to go do this. I need to spend that time to make a difference in someone's life. That is walking in love as well. Can I tell you the greatest act of kindness that we could do, the greatest act we could do to walk in love? It would be to share the gospel with someone who needs to know about Jesus Christ. When we sacrifice in this way, God gets the glory. I heard the story of a missionary, a young boy who grew up in India. He was in the Hindu faith, but he came to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. He had moved away from his hometown, his home village, and he wanted to go back to his village. And so he had been shunned by so many that were not believers in Christ, and yet he was determined to go back. And so what did he do? He walked. And he walked on rough roads, and his feet became calloused, and they became cut, and he had all kinds of problems just going that distance barefooted. But he finally came into his village, and the people scorned him. He got up in the center of his village, and he preached, and the people scorned him, and they mocked him, and he was so discouraged. And he went out to the edge of the city, and he laid down. He woke up the next morning. When he woke up, the whole village was there. And the leader of the village came to him, and they said, we've come to listen. He goes, I don't understand. Yesterday you mocked me. They said, when we saw your bleeding feet, we knew that you had a message that we wanted to hear. And it's that sacrifice that Christ gave us as his example that is our example, that when we sacrifice, to minister to people and walk in love, God will use that in a special way. Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? I hope you do. If we can help you in any way, we're here to do that. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we love you and praise you. We thank you for the privilege that we have to study your precious, precious word. I pray, Father, that you might bless every listener today, everyone that has joined us for this service today. And I ask you, Lord, to speak to us. Help us walk in love. Help us to know for sure that we're in your kingdom, that we know you personally. And then, Lord, as believers in Christ, help us to walk in love and make a difference in our world. Lord, I pray that when people see our sacrifice and our willingness to love, they'll realize that Jesus Christ has a message for their life. Help us to be faithful to share that message. We love you, Lord, and we pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.